don't move. Let's do that for a couple of minutes. Slowly open your eyes or come to, whatever. How was it, Bob?
Too short.
I know. But did it work? Did you get the feeling of it, what it is about?
A little.
Okay. That's good. Mikhail, I think you were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really amazing because you really cannot explain it because there is no word to explain a stop, you know, just a stop. How was it for you, Connie?
Well, I went real deep, but I couldn't get a thought, and I usually have no
that's
trouble.
It. That's it. This is it. That's up. That's
psychology.
It's not psychology. I tell you, when you go to the source of the mind, you realize there is nothing. And that's what you did. You went to the source of the mind. This is absolutely what we're talking about is truthfully is the truth, is a work of a 30 years of making it. So it is not of this world at all. It is not out of suggestion. It is not a way of looking at things. It is the truth. When you look at the source of the mind, it will not exist. And yet, how many people are enslaved to it to the point of insanity? Insanity. You know? How many do we know in our life? So this wisdom, priceless. Priceless. We had a lot of merit to sit here tonight and get this wisdom. I tell you. A lot of merit. How was it for you?
I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but I listen to you and I read a lot, and everybody says, wake up to the truth. Is there a definitive answer to what the truth is? Nobody's ever said the
yes.
truth?
Well, thank you for asking me that question. The truth is when the false is not. Everything that you ever believed is false. The truth does not need to declare itself. Is Sat Chit Ananda. It is bliss, awareness, truth. In a very, very unmindful state, you are in the truth. Truth is when there is no fear, no worry, no, is just being infinitely. And there is no way of saying it because anything we say is incorrect. So for you to ask is wonderful. For me to be able to answer it is impossible.
How do you not fear the unknown? Let's take death, for example. Have you seen the other side? I mean, is it absolute that there's no annihilation of the spirit? I mean, that is where the fear comes from, the fear of the unknown. And
yes.
When you get to
yes.
the point where you are at, have you seen it? Do you know for a fact that there is absolutely nothing to fear?
You look at the truth as end of your physical instead of in reality, not only is the farthest from what you are describing the truth, but actually by knowing the truth, you become immortal. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does not mean that you leave your body. Your body will live as long as it's supposed to, whether you went after the truth or not. The truth only makes it peaceful while you're going through it. If you might have read someplace that say the enlightened soul cannot be in the body more than 30 days or 60 days or so. This is absolutely not true in 99.9% of the time, except for 1% that is supposed to go that way. And again, you asked me about my own experiences. Unfortunately, I'm not able to talk about it, but you will know a little bit about what I have to say if it pierce your heart, if it transform you. Because for me to say that where I stand on the spiritual path is almost arrogant to the listener. And Richard is the only person in my life that has witnessed what has been happening to me in private. But no, to put the mind and the body always will fear the truth, but something in you will push you forward anyway. If you look at your life, you will know you went forward with fear and anxiety, and sometimes you had to quit for a while, and then you came back on it again. That prompting is who you really are. Trying to take you beyond fear and anxiety and Maya. Is it easy? No. Sometimes you might feel like, oh, this is not for me. But just because this thing is awakened in you that sends you to different places, that will see to it that you safely get there.
Yay!
Yeah, honestly, God, give me five. It's the truth. The same essence will take you where you want to go. Have nothing to worry about. The mind might fear it. So many times I went to India terrified out of my scalp, but I went anyway. And he paid off, because that prompting was as strong. So, the good news is, we always give good news on Tuesday. The good news is, like my teacher said, and he actually said it so sweet, you guys will see it on a DVD, he said, you are not the body, you are not the mind. If you were, you wouldn't say my mind, my body, my hand, my foot, my toe. You wouldn't say mine. You would say I am the mind, I am the body. So then who am I? If I'm not the body, then the truth will speak. But if we audibly, is that it right, English?
Yeah.
Audibly say the truth, it will not be the truth. Because it's something so incredibly subtle that the moment you want to think of it is no longer there. It's no longer there. Like you. You knew you were deep. You don't know what happened to your mind. But I'll be darned if you can sit there and explain to me how you went there. It just is. The truth is. Now, to talk to you again, in order to be in the truth, which is, my teacher says, and he says it very mildly, he says, if you were a prince, good looking, beautiful body, unbelievable health, mentally, physically, emotionally, money, joy, would not come to 1% of those that experience the truth. The joy of that person is not even close to 1%. Now, how do we find this truth? First, by eliminating what is not the truth. Anything that has opposite is not the truth. Good, bad, ugly, beautiful, fat, skinny, mad and sane, sinner and saint. All of the opposite in a mind of a realized person has to go. Once these are dropped by self-inquiry, then the mind begins to stop. We take the path of stopping it. Because it's not too many things for us to stop. It's already stopped by dropping it. Unmasking it, taking the sword. So what is we are left is the Satchit Ananda, or the truth. And until we realize it completely, we will have taste here and there. Just a drop here, drop there. Michaela had a few weeks ago where she went really in a state of sinking into the heart. So the mind in that exercise comes to the region of the heart, where the truth is. Now, you might ask, how come we don't talk about God and we talk about the truth? Because if you had not at one point loved God with all your heart, we would not be ready to sit here and talk about the truth. It's impossible. Maybe not in this lifetime, but sometime you adored with all your heart. Why? Why is this necessary? Because in order to love the invisible, it makes the heart ready to accept the truth. Do you follow me, or am I so vague that you'd rather go home right now? What's happening? Come on, come in. Is it clear? Yeah. Is clear for everybody else? Confusing?
You mean in as much as we were able to understand God?
No, love. I'm talking about love.
Oh, okay.
Even if you want to misunderstand it. The heart that knew how to love an invisible being is able to understand the truth.
But wouldn't loving anything with all your heart be loving God?
That's right.
Material or invisible?
That's right. Except, are you ready for that?
No. Go ahead, I'm listening.
I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay.
Except when you love something of material, say money or fame or this, with all your heart, it will open your heart beautifully, but it also will take you through the consequences of that temporariness of your desire, your love. So it has a double sword. Yes, it does help you in the heart, but it also captured you in the mind because you were taking your lover in the wrong place. And I give you an example of that. I think is funny, and I've said it before. A lady lost her needle inside of the house. She couldn't find it. She was sewing something underneath the candlelight. So she went outside and started looking under the light of the street. Someone was passing by and said, "What are you looking for, Mother?" She says, "My needle." They said, "Where did you lose it?" "In the house." "Why are you looking for it in the street? It has more light." It would be like that. Or it would be like a joke my father told. And Michaela and Tony, they probably know. Bob, am I loud enough for you guys there?
Yes.
My father was saying this joke, and honest to God, I think it's the best joke I've ever heard because it had a meaning for me. He said, in the bazaar, this guy threw his net, fishing net, into the sidewalk. And in the bazaar in Middle East, there's a lot of coming and going. And he had a friend that was sitting on a bucket waiting for him to catch the fish. And this pedestrian were passing by, and finally they couldn't handle it anymore. One